Kids for Kids Corner and Truth Seekers. Anybody weary and burdened, come to Him. He'll give us rest. He'll fill us with His peace. Praise the Lord. I want to invite you to open to Mark chapter 13, where we'll focus our attention on God's Word this morning. Let's go to Him in prayer. Lord, we thank You that in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of trial, in the midst of temptation, in the midst of those things that overwhelm us, that we can come to You and find in You the rest and the help that we need. And we just praise You for that this morning. We're thankful for Your Word, Lord. We ask that this morning, as we consider what You want to say to us, Lord, that our hearts and our minds might be stirred, and that we might be drawn close to You. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's 2020. Happy New Year. Hard to believe, isn't it? I'm sure some of you are glad for a fresh start. That 2019 is over. Thank God I won't have to go through that again, some of you were thinking. But it could even get worse. You never know. Has anyone here made New Year's resolutions? Come on, be honest. No one. Well, that's good, because I want to tell you that studies prove that most people who do will not keep those New Year's resolutions. In fact, if you had, most already have put them aside 5 days into the new year. How many participated in a New Year's celebration this year? Okay, I see a few hands here. Who attended the pickle drop in Mount Olive? Anybody? I was wondering if it was a gherkin or, you know, a kosher dill. Does anybody know? Anybody go to Raleigh in the acorn drop? No, nobody did that either. I don't know, but for me, there's something strange about watching a cucumber slide down a string and a giant nut lowered on a crane. I don't really get it. I don't even get the ball in New York falling or coming down either to celebrate the coming of a new year. As 2020 became a reality, and maybe it hasn't become a reality yet. Maybe you're still signing your checks 2019. But as it became a reality, did anyone ask yourself, how am I going to live my life in this new year? Have you given much thought to that question? Well, I think the Lord can give us some help in that area. And we want to look to the answer for that question in Mark chapter 13, verses 32 to 37, which are a part of Jesus' Olivet discourse. In looking at this passage, it made me wonder, how aware are we of what is taking place in the world? I'm not talking about the daily news, but how aware are we of what is taking place around us? As you go through your day, like many folks, probably most of us are consumed with what is on our list to do, the projects that we need to get done, the appointments that need to be made and attended. And so much goes on in our lives. We're so busy that we're really not cognizant a lot of times of what's happening around us. Over the course of our ministry, Ruth and I have had the privilege of living and serving the Lord in cities and around cities. And one of the first lessons that a person must learn when they move into the city is, if they want to survive, they have to learn street smarts. You know what I'm talking about? Street smarts? One of the major components of being street smart is to be always aware of your surroundings. Because if you're not, sooner or later, someone will take advantage of you. Many years ago, when I was working as a district church growth director, I attended an urban conference in New York City where I spent several days with other church growth directors from around the country. During our stay, we lived in a little hotel off of Times Square. How many have been to Times Square before? So you know where that's at. We lived in a little hotel off of Times Square, and we immersed ourselves in the city and in a number of churches located in the city to see the types of work that God was doing there. One thing that we became painfully aware of was that a number of the guys did not have street smarts. And if you've been to New York and you don't have street smarts, watch out, because some of them were taken advantage of by pickpockets. One of the men who was from Illinois was fleeced right in the lobby of the little hotel we were staying at as he stood in line at the front desk. Somebody picked his pocket. Another was pickpocketed as he got onto a subway train. Out-of-towners and tourists, they stick out and are easy prey for those who are making their living, and a good one, by taking advantage of them. Well, in our text for today, Jesus urges us as his followers to be aware of what is happening around us and how all of that applies to his return. Following his description in the previous verses of how his return would unfold, he shared these words of counsel for us. However, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen. Not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. And since you don't know when that time will come, be on guard. Stay alert. The coming of the Son of Man can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. When he left home, he gave each of his servants instructions about the work they were to do. And he told the gatekeeper to watch for his return. You too must keep watch, for you don't know when the master of the household will return. In the evening, at midnight, before dawn, or at daybreak. Don't let him find you sleeping when he arrives. Without warning, I say to you what I say to everyone. Watch for him. Jesus knew that the question about when he would return would be asked more than any other question. And so when the disciples asked in verse 4, all the way back in verse 4, when will this happen? He saved the answer till last. And his answer to them was blunt, and it was very straightforward. He said, no one knows, not even me. As a follow-up, he then pointed out that the mark of a disciple was not having inside information, but being aware of the times we are living in, and in those times, serving Christ faithfully. Spiritual awareness and vigilance in what Christ has told us to do is of most importance for us as believers and followers of Jesus. Don't be found sleeping really becomes the essential theme of the entire Olivet Discourse. Jesus said, no one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. While he had already given signs to be aware of and observe regarding the coming of the end, Jesus clearly explained to the disciples that the exact day and hour was not known by the angels or himself. When Jesus said not even he knew the time of the end, he was affirming his humanity. As Paul spoke about in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, where it says, though he was not God, he did not think of equality, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being, and he appeared in human form. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Of course, God the Father knows the time, and Jesus and the Father are one. But when Jesus became a man, he voluntarily gave up the unlimited use of his divine attributes. On earth, Jesus laid aside his divine prerogatives, and he submitted to his Father's will. So that means that only the Father knows the exact time of his Son's return. The emphasis of this verse is not on Jesus' lack of knowledge, but rather on the fact that no one knows when he will return. It is God the Father's secret to be revealed when he wills it to be revealed. Though many have tried, and maybe you've read some of those before, no one can predict by scripture or even by science the exact day of Jesus' return. Jesus was teaching that preparation, not calculation, was needed. In addition, he added, since you don't know when that time will come, be on guard. Stay alert. Have some spiritual street smarts. The words "you don't know" refer to every one of us. Every one of us doesn't know the time of the Lord's return. And because we do not know, Jesus stresses for us to be on guard and stay alert, because only the Father knows the time of his Son's return. We must be ready at any moment, even as if it were going to happen this morning, because it could. And so let me ask you a question. Are you ready? Are you watching? Are you staying alert? Are you on guard? Christ's return will be swift and sudden. There will be no opportunity for last-minute repentance. When he returns, there will be no bargaining with God. Oh, God, you saw what a good guy I was. No bargaining. The choices that people have made, the choices that you and I have made, will determine their eternal destiny and ours. If Jesus were to return in the next few minutes, your choice would determine whether one of his angels would swoop down and take you to his side, or if you will be running for cover because the terrible day of the Lord is about to be unleashed. As Jesus spoke of in previous verses, God's wrath will be poured out on those who waited too long to make a decision, or who chose not to place their faith and trust in Christ. He goes on, and he further emphasizes what he wants us to understand from this passage by telling a parable. The coming of the Son of Man, he says, can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. When he left home, he gave each of his servants instructions about the work they were to do, and he told the gatekeeper to watch for his return. Now, in this parable, watchfulness and work are emphasized. Jesus describes himself as a man going on a long journey. The words literally mean going to another country or going abroad. Not just a weekend trip to the beach, but an extended time away. He's telling his disciples, and he's telling us. What the disciples were not aware of at that particular time was that Jesus was speaking of returning to heaven which would occur after his death and resurrection, which they weren't aware of either. The disciples are those left behind. And that includes you, and it includes me. We are left behind to carry on the work that Jesus has given us to do. And as we wait for his return, we are to do so by working. Our work includes being salt and light in this evil world. Our work includes living as God has shown us how to live in his word, as a people who are set apart by him. Our work includes going and making disciples. This is the work that he has given us, each of us, to do. The gatekeeper was to keep watch for his return. The other servants understood that they are in charge of themselves and are responsible to do the work that the master left for them to do, and would not want him to return suddenly and be found lazy in the performance of their duties. As Christ's followers, each of us has been assigned work to do, as is outlined in Scripture. In fact, we have enough work that we shouldn't be neutralized or anyway paralyzed by fear and doubt, because we're doing the work of the Lord. We do not need to worry about how other servants compare to us. Instead, it is critical that we devote ourselves to doing what God has given us to do. And so the question before us this morning is, are we doing that? Are we about the work that God has given us to do? I want you to think of it in this way, as we try to put this into perspective. How many of you have been involved in the planning of a wedding? Anybody? Yeah. Oh, Aaron every week. Every single week he's planning a wedding. Not that he's been married that many times, but he's planning other people's wedding. The planning of a wedding takes a lot of preparation, doesn't it? It takes months of preparation. Whether you're the one being married or one of your kids is being married, it takes months of preparation. I think about what's happening here at church right now. Some of the folks are involved in building a robot. You just go ahead and go into the shop and, you know, there it is. It's already built. No, it takes months of preparation as they build and prepare for competition. When a couple finds out they're pregnant, what happens? Months of preparation go into preparing for the coming of that new child into their home. And so the question before us is, with all of those types of preparation that we take place, do you place the same importance on preparing for Christ's return? The most important event in your life and in my life as a follower of Jesus. Its results will last for eternity. You dare not postpone your preparations because you do not know when he will return. I believe the way to prepare, there are a lot of things that we can do to prepare, but one of the ways that we need to prepare is we need to study God's word. And not only do we need to read it, not only do we need to meditate on it, not only do we need to study it, but we need to live it. It needs to be lived out daily in our lives. We need to remain as believers morally alert in this immoral society in which we live. We need to avoid spiritual lethargy. It's very easy to fall into this. We need to refuse to be distracted from the work or fulfilling the role that God has assigned for us to fulfill. Jesus said in verse 35, "You too must keep watch. For you don't know when the master of the household will return in the evening, at midnight, before dawn, or at daybreak. Not just the gatekeeper. Not just the pastor and the elders of the church, but all the servants are implored to keep watch. In the context of this parable, this meant that the servants were conscientiously doing the work that was assigned for them to do. Jesus meant that none of his followers would want to be found spiritually lax or lazy, but instead conscientiously going about the work that God had given them to do. And guess what? If you're a believer here today, we all have work to do. Each one of us. His depiction of in the evening, at midnight, before dawn, and at daybreak reveals that all believers are to be ready. We're to be ready and alert for Jesus' coming again. We're to be working for the kingdom, both because we know of the certainty of Christ's return and because we don't know when it will happen. It's good, I think, that we as Christ followers don't know exactly when He will return. You know why it's good? Because if we knew the precise date and hour when Jesus was going to return, we might be tempted to be lazy in our work for Him. Worse yet, we might plan to keep on sinning and then turn to God right at the end. Oh, tomorrow's the day. I better get myself right with Him, right? Heaven is not our only goal, folks. We have work to do here, work that is crucial for Christ's return. The work and ministry are the ways we prepare for His coming. We must keep on doing that work until we die or until Jesus returns. In verse 36, Jesus further emphasizes the importance of being ready and aware when He says, "Don't let Him find you sleeping when He arrives without warning." Jesus told His disciples to keep constant watch for His return. Now, although nearly 2,000 years have passed since He first spoke these words on the Mount of Olives, their truth remains. Waiting is hard for us, is it not? Who likes to wait? Anybody? None of us. Yet, the promise of God's Word is that Christ is coming again. And when He returns, His followers must not be sleeping. We need to watch and be spiritually fit. This means we need to be working faithfully at the task that God has given us to do. Don't let your mind and spirit be dulled by careless living or the pursuit of foolish pleasure. Don't let life's anxieties overburden you. Don't be distracted by what the world offers you, because the world offers us a lot, doesn't it? It's always there. It's always out in front of us. Instead, be ready to move at God's command. As Jesus' followers, we should be less concerned about the exact date and more concerned about being prepared, living God's way consistently, so that no matter when Jesus comes in glory, He will claim us as His own. Now, some might be thinking, does Jesus mean we must never sleep? No. We're meant to have regular periods of real sleep, and I encourage you to do that. In fact, we need sleep to stay alert. But as Jesus uses the word sleep here, He is referring to spiritual sluggishness. You know what that is in your own life? Spiritual sluggishness. Paul refers to it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6, where he says, "So be on your guard, not asleep like others. Stay alert and clear-headed." Spiritual sluggishness occurs when we allow other things to take precedence over our relationship with Christ. Spiritual sluggishness occurs when we allow other things to take precedence over our relationship with Christ. Let me give you some examples. It happens when we allow the busyness of our schedules to push aside prayer. It happens when social media, the internet, movies, television, and games replace our time in God's Word and we hardly even take notice. In this kind of sleep, we doze off spiritually and slip away from those things that we know Christ wants us to be concerned about. In our varied interests and pursuits, it is vitally important to keep watch, to be aware of what is happening around us and happening in our lives. We need to be like a smoke detector. We need to be like a smoke detector that's always charged. Because when it's always charged, when the smoke comes, what happens? It goes off and it's annoying, isn't it? We need to be like that. We need to be like the fire station that is always ready to respond as believers. That's how alert we need to be. Well, Jesus ends his discourse with these words. He says, I say to you what I say to everyone. Watch for him. Jesus' final words of the Olivet Discourse are meant for all believers. It's important on this Sunday, January the 5th, 2020, here in Goldsboro, North Carolina, to be aware of what is happening around us in this world. We need to be spiritually streetwise as to the times in which we are living, as we watch and wait expectantly for Christ's return as we do His work. We need to be spiritually streetwise. The entire 13th chapter of the Gospel of Mark tells us how to wait, tells us how to live. Let me just pinpoint a few examples. Verses 5 and 6, we see that we're not to be misled by confusing claims and speculative interpretations of what will happen. In verses 9 through 11, Jesus tells us that we're not to be afraid to tell people about Him in spite of what might happen to us for doing so. In verse 13, Jesus spoke of the fact that we must stand firm in our faith and not be surprised by persecution. We must be morally alert, obedient to the commands for living that are found in God's Word. Jesus' discourse was not given to promote discussions on prophetic timetables, but to stimulate right living for God in a world where He is largely being ignored today. Jesus' purpose was to warn us to be prepared, so prepared that we're ready even if He would return today. Even in the next few moments. We ensure our preparedness by being aware of what is happening in the world around us, by remaining in close fellowship with Him, and going about the work that He has left us to do in living holy lives and in making disciples. In 2020, it's 2020 right now. It's hard to believe, isn't it? 2020. If you're not ready for Christ's return, it's time to get ready. It's time to make it a priority in your life. Everything else that you're doing outside of this is temporal. Guess what? It won't last. No matter how good it is, no matter how fun and enjoyable, and no matter the fact that it might be necessary for your own existence, none of it should distract us from being about what Christ has given us to do in this life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your Word. And we take it by faith today that you are going to return. As you came to earth, born of a virgin, as you lived your life and died on the cross and rose from the dead, we believe today in faith that you will return as you promised you would return when it is the will of your Father for you to return. Lord, I pray for each one of us that you would help us to be alert, to be on guard, to be about the work that you have given us to do. Lord, help us to make this a priority in life. Help us not to live for ourselves, but to live for you. And in so doing, be used of you to bring others to yourself, and to bring glory and honor and praise to you as we wait for your return. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask